Money Talk.
This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring a discussion on India's global trade policy, putting the nation first. The participants are Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Gaura Dhawanlal, anchor.
Hello and welcome to our program. A conversation today with noted economic analyst Mr. Sharad Kohli will be on India's global trade policy, putting the nation first. Sharad, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Gaura.
So I think this whole rhetoric and this conversation about tariffs and all ad nauseum, everybody's really been talking about it. It would be lovely to understand from you this 25% which is going to be put in, and I'm diving straight in without any preamble or context setting, and the additional which is being spoken of. How worrisome is that, and what should India be careful about?
Well, good evening, Gaura, to you and the Akashvani listeners. I think the 25% has been announced, and if you're all aware, 7th August is supposed to be the D-Day when they'll come into effect. The Indian export market, the Indian stock markets, the Indians overall, the exporters, they had pretty much digested this 25%. And I think not many people know that there were some exemptions here as well. In fact, my off-the-cuff calculation said that around half of the $86 billion we export to the U.S., might be exempt because there are APIs, there are semiconductor chips. So I think the 25% was pretty much digested, shall I say, because if you see the list of countries on which US has imposed tariffs, the letters which they have handed over, there's 19%, there's 25%, there's 30%, there's 41%. So it looks like a game of roulette to me where you select the numbers, you know, the needle falls on which number anyway. So I think that was what is more worrisome is the uncertainty with regard to the additional tariffs. And they are given two more names, by the way. One name being given is called the penalty. The other name given earlier was secondary tariff. I think that has caused a bit of uncertainty and a bit of a flutter amongst the exporters because you don't know if it is going to stop at 20%, 25%. And 8th August was the deadline given to Russia to stop the war. And Mr. Witkoff from the Trump administration has been sent to Moscow. We are waiting for the outcome of what happens. In case that war doesn't stop, and if we go by President Trump's threat, which has been given, that he's going to impose more sanctions on Russia. And one of those sanctions would be the secondary tariffs or the penalties on the countries which are importing oil from Russia. So I think that is what is causing a bit of a fret as far as the exporters are concerned, because we don't know what that is going to be, and that probably we'll know in the next few days. But overall, I feel that this is encroachment on the sovereign right of a country. Well, India has got long, long relations with Russia. And we go back to 2022 when the Russia-Ukraine conflict started. At that time, you know, when there was a scarcity of oil and when it was being felt that the oil chains might get disturbed, America by itself had said that to stabilize the oil market, you carry on to buy oil from Russia. This is from America to India. You carry on oil from Russia while because India was buying from the Middle East more. He said, we'll buy more from Middle East, so you buy from Russia. So that way the prices will be stabilized and OPEC or OPEC Plus will not have to force to raise the prices and so on and so forth. Now, first of all, it was their own directive, number one. Not directive, I won't call it as a directive, but I'll call it was their suggestion.
It had its concurrence also, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we've got about 86% of our oil needs being imported. And we are a high energy consumption country overall. Although the per capita energy consumption is very low, it's not very high. That is another aspect which US will have to keep in mind. Now, with that being the case, and Russia was giving us oil at about $7 to $8, between $6 and $8 cheaper than the market. And we had a good reason. Our last year's budget for oil import was $137 billion. So we had all the right, and it was well within our, you know, right to be saying that, okay, we are fine with importing this oil directly from Russia. We're getting it cheap. Of course, now the discounts stand at $2 to $3 a barrel. But even though we are exporting about, let's say, $50 billion plus of oil out of our total of $143 billion total bill.
Right.
So I think it is well within our right. I don't think a third country has got a right to intervene and say, okay, you don't buy oil from there. And, you know, my contention, Gaura, also comes from the fact that people who live in glass houses should not be throwing stones at others. For the simple reason, even as we talk today, and I'll also include in this fold the EU, because a few days ago, EU had imposed sanctions on some of our refineries and so on and so forth. As per the US Com trade data on United Nations, $3 billion of imports were done by US itself from Russia. And one of the items was uranium hexafluoride. $1.3 billion of fertilizers being imported by America. Precious stones and metals being imported. Inorganic chemicals and isotopes being imported. Wood and wood products being imported. Machinery and nuclear reactors being imported. Animal feed being imported. Other base metals being imported, non-ferrous metals. We are also looking at aircraft parts and spacecraft, iron and steel being imported. I somehow feel this is hypocrisy because this is double standards. Because on one side, you carry on to import at your convenience what you need right now. And on the other side, you say that we are funding the Russian war. India has always, Gaurav, maintained a very neutral stance. If you go back to 2022, Indian Prime Minister Modi, he traveled to Russia, he traveled to Ukraine. He tried his level best to intervene and pacify both the sides that, look, war is not the solution. So India has been peace-loving. India has advocated peace. India has been making all sort of diplomatic efforts to bring peace. How can a statement be made that India is probably responsible for all the deaths happening in Ukraine? I think that statement stretches a bit too far, which is why we saw reaction from the MEA in India that this is not fair at all. Right. And I hope you would agree.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, the more one is seeing this pan out, you see that it's not about economics and nor is it about the world trade order. And it's about an attitude and an approach. And use of the term penalty. Now, penalty is for a breach. And this breach is for what? For being a sovereign nation? For making sovereign decisions? So this whole attitude and approach of saying, you know, I have this power, will execute, it's like a short of being a bully.
I think this is an era of sovereign nations. This is an era of independent thinking. This is an era of like-minded nations coming together. And this is an era of diplomatic solutions. This is not an era of bullying, as you said. These attempts, I have a feeling that, as they say in English, things might get worse before they get better. And I'm sure this reality is going to sink into him.
Right.
That what he's doing may not even be acceptable by the American people. You wait for 7th of August, and when the first tranche of exports land in America from India and many of the other countries, what happens? Let's understand the process. It's very easy. The goods land at the custom ports. From there, they get to the warehouses. And it reaches the American consumers probably in a week's time or a couple of weeks' time. They get distributed all over America. And when the American people, they reach the stores or they start their online buying or whatever they do, and they find that the goods have suddenly $100 product is now costing them $125. Because see, there are only two ways, Gaurav. Either America can do without these goods, which means that America should overnight, before 7th of August, set up factories and make sure those factories are producing goods less than $125, which America wants, which is not possible. 1 acre of land, Gaurav, in America, on an average, costs you 2 crore rupees. I'm converting in rupees for the ease of listeners. $40 per hour is the cost of skilled labor in America. Now, when you try and do this for something as simple as an iPhone, which costs $1,200, $1,300, various models, I calculated it will cost over $3,000 if manufactured in America. So can America afford, or can American people afford that kind of? So you wait and see, because the moves like, you know, firing Erica, the BLS chief, because she said that the new jobs created were only 73,000 as compared to last July, when there were 2.5 lakh jobs. You cannot subdue the voices. You cannot subdue the statistics.
You don't like the message, you can't remove the messenger. No?
Exactly. And now Jerome Powell, the Fed chairperson, is on target because he's not reducing the rates. And if you go by the principles of economics, I mean, I come from the world of economics. You cannot reduce the rates when inflation is hovering over you.
Right.
There are no jobs in America at this point of time. Small businesses are closing down. No new investment is happening, or very negligible investment is happening. In that scenario, you cannot curtail and you cannot subdue the data. So this data, when it comes, I'm sure it's going to cause a kind of a flutter amongst the people of America. And my fear is that we saw one protest happening in LA a couple of days ago. My fear is this protest might spread. And that is when President Trump will understand that his moves, after all, may not get digested in the manner he wants them to.
Right. Sharad, doing a pullback and bringing you back to the Indian economy, in terms of, let's do a cost-benefit analysis. Please help us do that. In terms of the money we are saving and the benefits we are getting because of our Russian imports and supposed penalties or the tariffs, would it still work in India's favor actually economically? One is, of course, our decision-making, our sovereign nation. We make our own decisions. But economically?
I really don't think, because the Indian economy, Gaurav, is in a very strong position. It's not about those $2-3. Let's understand this. It's about India's sovereign rights to buy from wherever it wants. No third party can dictate terms. I mean, nobody can direct us and tell us, you buy from here, you don't buy from there. So those $2 to $3 in a total import of about $143 billion may not, after all, make a big difference. I mean, even if it makes a big difference, India is very much in a position, Gaurav, fiscally speaking, to absorb that.
So it's not just economic cost. And
no, not at all.
It's about emotional. It's about sovereignty.
Exactly. Sovereignty. It's not about, I mean, we are not here to save money. Well, if you're getting it cheaper, we welcome that. But then it's not about saving money. It's about how can a third party interfere with what we are doing with some other country. I think that is what. And I'm so glad, Gaurav, that this government has standing by its stance. And the responses which I saw from MEA last night, they were very encouraging. And they said, "We are," and I'm sure India is not going to bend, even if the penalties are imposed. I'm sure it's not going to be acceptable. And we reserve the right to retaliate if the need be. Our first stance was we remained quiet. We didn't react because we knew this is not based on sense. This is not based on rationale. This is not based on prudence. This is not based on pragmatism. So first reaction was remain quiet. The second reaction, when things didn't stop there, when he called us a dead economy and he moved on from there that India is funding the Ukraine debts and so on and so forth, there was a reaction. I think the third reaction can be retaliatory also. I'm sure the Indian government reserves that right to retaliate if the need be. We cannot just keep taking it lying low. But I have hope, sir, that President Trump will come to terms. He will understand with the flux of time. It could be a few weeks. He would understand that probably what he's doing is not correct.
So flux of time and flex of muscle. And I think to realize that, you know, it's not really muscle. It could be just a lot of froth also, because he has a history of going back and changing what he said a few days earlier. And that also has to be taken into account. It causes a lot of, I think, nuisance value and damage. Sometimes it comes through, but very often a lot of it is posturing, and that has a downside.
I call it self-destructive because it can be as bad. It could cost him his own reputation. You know, his approval ratings, I was watching the data, has come down from 47% to 40%. So even people, we've heard voices from the Republican Party as well. And the voices of America, I was on a media platform and I had a Republican Party member who was on the debate, and she was as much agreeing with me as I am speaking right now. So I think when the voices get louder, that's when the reality, as I said, will sink into him. And yes, you're right. He's known for flip-flops. He's different in morning, evening. And, you know, the vocabulary he uses while writing on his own platform called Truth Social or whatever it's called. So let's hope that flip-flop aspect of the character of President Trump comes to the surface. For this time, we would want it come to the surface so that he understands what he's doing, because it defies the principles of economics.
Right.
It defies principles of diplomacy. It also defies principle of sovereignty. It defies principle of international trade as well.
And, you know, as you use the word flip-flops, all flip-flops cannot be treated as casual. They can have casualties also.
Absolutely.
So now bringing back the nation first, India's the decision, I think nobody would disagree. This is what we've always put and we'll continue to do so. But I'm also hearing you say, and before we say thank you, just a word to our listeners, as to the how of it, you're actually very appreciative of the fact of how we've step by step slowly done that. And that actually is global statesmanship.
Yes, I think although that's the prerogative of the Government of India, the Ministry of External Affairs, I'm sure they have lined up a plan of action as to how they're going to react and what time. But for sure, we cannot compromise. We heard Prime Minister saying at a rally yesterday, we cannot compromise our own structure of the economy. How can we allow non-vegetarian meat to be served to our cattle? How can we allow genetically modified crops to be sold here? And you know, the milk which comes out of non-vegetarian eating cattle is also non-vegetarian. There is 38% of our country is vegetarian. How can we allow, as I said, GMO, soybean and corn here? So these are the issues which are related to the structure of economy. Half of our workforce come from agriculture. So we cannot afford to draw a red line. Well, President Trump wants a free ride as far as agriculture is concerned, dairy is concerned. There's so many other issues as well. So I think sooner America understands.
And I think in today's scenario, definitely, I think that's a very, very good distinction to keep in our heads. Mr. Sharad Kohli, thank you so much for coming on to our
program. My pleasure. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's global trade policy, putting the nation first. The participants were Sharad Kohli, economic analyst, and Gaurav Dhawanlal, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.
Money Talk.